You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your weekly post-apocalyptic news roundup.
Welcome everyone back to this fifth spoiler special for The Walking Dead. This one here covers episode 8, called For Blood, from season 11. And I'm going to talk all about it in this episode. I'm going to talk about what is now the mid-season finale of season 11. Of course, that's the bad news. The good news is it was a really great episode, and I loved it. The bad news is we have to wait until 2022 to see another new episode of The Walking Dead. It's sad news, but you know, they've done it the last few seasons. I know at least last season they did that. And we don't know exactly when. I think it's usually around late January, early February where they do that. I don't know why they do it. I'm sure it's some kind of algorithm that, you know, makes it the best views during that time. I don't know, something like that. So it's sad. It's sad that we have to wait that long, but this was a good episode, so I'm going to talk all about it. So it starts out with, we have the Reapers. Daryl's with the Reapers. Leah's with the Reapers. Pope is the Reapers. Have I mentioned that I don't like Pope? Well, I have some good news for you if you don't like Pope also. So they see the walkers coming toward their place, right? They have their fortifications up. Their walls are up. They're at the top of their wall, and they're looking down, and they see just hordes and hordes of walkers coming at them. And Pope is like, you know, I don't think I've ever seen this kind of formation before. I mean, he's a strategic military guy. He knows about formations, and he knows about that this is something that's not an accident, right? And he asked Daryl, who he's still very suspicious of. He still thinks that Daryl is part of a, you know, part of Maggie's group. And he's not willing to kind of let that go. Although he's kind of still trusting him a little bit more. He's letting him do some things. He's given him a lot of tests that he's passed and things like that. So he asks Daryl, what do you think about this? Do you think that this is something that that you've seen before? And Daryl's like, yeah. I saw it this one time. I don't remember, you know. It was no big deal. And Daryl's answers to Pope's questions, I don't know. They were really, throughout this whole episode, they were very, it looked like Daryl was kind of on his last, you know, using up his last words, his last bit of kind of secrecy and being able to hold it in and stuff like that. And he's kind of fumbling all over the place. So it's a little scary to think that, you know, when you see him respond like that, you're like, oh, Daryl, come on, make something up, you know, be a little bit more spontaneous on your feet. But Pope buys it. Pope's like, fine, you know, we'll figure this out. He sends Wells, who I think his first name's Carl or Bill or something like that. He sends Wells out to lead the undead away. Since they're slow walking, you know, he can go out there and he can kind of, so he's getting a little cocky. You know, Wells is, he's down there. He's backstepping, you know, he's like walking backwards and they're coming at him, but they're kind of slowly, you know, walking toward him. So he's like, you know, this is no problem, I'm going to get him out of here, I'm going to get him away from our place. Well, then there, of course, are there some behind him, and they kind of overwhelm him. But before they overwhelm him, we notice a couple of those walkers pull out knives and stab him. And of course, we already know who it is. We know it's Maggie and Negan and Elijah and Gabriel, although I don't think Gabriel was suited up like that. But you know, Maggie and Negan and Elijah at least had the masks on, the zombie skin masks like the Whisperers had, and we saw that in previous last two episodes, I think three maybe, where they were, you know, suiting up to do this. So you can see the surprise on Wells's face when he gets stabbed by zombies, because he's like, wait a minute, you know. But he dies 2 seconds after that, so he doesn't really get a chance to really think about it too long. So they kill Wells, and this actually raises a big problem later with Leah, and I'll get into that in a second. But So we have that initial part. Then they start showing the credits, you know, or the, you know, opening credits. And we go to Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is where Carol is and Aaron and, you know, like Judith and all the kids. And they're kind of like the home team. You know what I mean? They're staying home and they're keeping that place down, but they're starving. There's that same group that's been starving, waiting for Maggie to bring the food back. And that's why she's out there. She's trying to get that food back from Pope because his group took it from him. So she goes out, or so the Alexandria group is there keeping it down. But then this storm comes, this crazy, crazy storm. And we heard about that in the trailer for last episode, or at least in the IMDb description last episode. We knew there was a storm coming, and it's a bad storm. It's blowing the windows in a little bit. It's moving the door and the frame in the house, and, you know, it's shaking and rattling and rolling. And so they start boarding up the windows. Actually, the reason they start boarding up the windows a little more quickly is because they notice that the fence blew down. That's that big metal fence that keeps the zombies out, keeps them safe inside of Alexandria. And they see a piece of the wall blow away, and they're like, oh, okay, well, we need to do something about this. So they start boarding up the windows, and there's still some problems with that. You know, they get to the point where someone, I think it's Gracie, is standing near a window practicing her sword fighting, and one of the zombies grabs her arm, and Judith comes up and chops the arm off, and So they get a little overwhelmed with these zombies, and finally Rosita, who, I mean, we knew she was a badass. You know, she's done a lot in this. I mean, the whole time she's been there, which has been many, many seasons, she goes out on the front porch and she just kills like a dozen or so of them, maybe more than that. And just, you know, flailing. She has this like kind of bat sword, although I don't know. Now that I'm looking at the picture, is that Lucille? Does she have Lucille? I don't think she has Lucille, the bat. But anyway, I just realized that when I looked at this picture. I took it as being this kind of like bladed, you know, pugil weapon that she was just slicing these zombies up with it. So then she comes back in and she's like, okay, I got the ones that were there. Lock up the doors. Don't, you know, stay away from the windows, is I think what she says. So we get to see that side of her again, which is great. I think it's kind of, maybe it's foreshadowing for something a little bit later. I think she's going to be one of the characters that makes it to the very end, you know. And so that's basically it at Alexandria. It's showing that they're still in danger. Things are happening to them that's, you know, not that great. Now, here's what I couldn't understand. Now, this is the critic in me, which is, you know, this happens a lot when I watch these shows, but so there's a huge, huge storm in Alexandria. Where's the storm for the other people? They can't be that far away, right? I mean, you know, storms can be localized, but I don't know. It was weird that there was no storm for Daryl's group or Maggie's group or anything. But anyway, I digress. So now we go to Maggie's group. Maggie's group is at this point merge, like they're at the same place that Daryl's group is. So the focus, the biggest focus of this entire episode is Daryl and Leah and the Reapers. And then we see Maggie's group, like I said, you know, dressed as zombies approaching the wall. They're leading the charge to the wall. Well, eventually Maggie gets in. Daryl helps her out, breaks a lock on a door so she's able to get in. She steals a truck, and she rams the truck through the front gates. And it kind of opens up, you know, literally opens up the door for a bunch of zombies to come in and kind of do their thing. And it's another turning point. When I did my write-up, I listed there are three major turning points of this episode. And I'll go through those in a second. But at this point, they're getting ready to shoot down this really amazing, it's like a 15th century artillery weapon. It's actually a Korean weapon, and it's called a hwacha, I think is how you pronounce it. It shoots dozens of explosive arrows all at once. And so they set it up. They have an engineer on their team, the Reapers do, and he made this thing that shoots dozens and dozens of these arrows out, and they all have explosive tips on them, so you light it, and they all fire off at the same time. Well, so this is something they were threatening to use for a while. They were going to use it to take down the zombies that came into the gate, and then later we see them actually use it at the very end of the episode. But let's backtrack a little bit. So Maggie's group has infiltrated. Negan and Elijah are injured because Pope set up some mines. There's like a little minefield around the place where they're at. And so when the zombies are coming across, they're hitting these mines and blowing up. Well, some of the shrapnel, I guess, hit Negan and Elijah. They look pretty injured. I don't know how that's going to play out later. We'll see how that goes. But now let's focus on the Reapers themselves, because this is really the big part of the whole episode. This is where it all goes down. So we have Daryl and Leah and Pope and the rest of the Reapers. And we know, you know, from previous episodes, we've seen Leah kind of, it seems like she's losing hope in Pope. Hope and Pope, the next Dr. Seuss novel. No, she's losing hope in Pope. I can't say that enough. And Daryl can see it. And he's getting his own hopes up, because he figures, you know, he's like, well, one day I'm going to save Leah and we're going to run off to the sunset and we're going to leave all this behind. So it's kind of sweet, right? I mean, he has feelings for Leah still. He has hope that she is going to go on his side, right? So it's kind of, it comes to a head in this episode. He sees how she's reacting to Pope's demands. At one point when he gets the Huacha and he wants to shoot down into the courtyard and just to kill everything there, there's a couple of his men still down in there. And these are people who he has called family. And Leah considers family. You know, I mean, she was mad enough when Wells died, and Pope knew about it. He even admitted, you know, well, there, you know, collateral damage. And when he was going to shoot that thing down and kill all those people and the zombies and everything, he said, well, it's collateral damage. And she isn't buying this. She's like, no, family is the most important thing. And that was kind of the, you know, the name of this episode is For Blood, and it has like a double meaning. But For Blood, you know, blood is thicker than water, and she considers these people in the Reapers her family. And she doesn't like the fact that Pope just uses them as expendable trash, you know, and he's losing it, essentially. He's really losing it. I think he lost it a long time ago, but he's really losing it now. So she gets upset with him, and then later on, they're getting ready to you know, get the order to do this, and Daryl takes this opportunity. He comes up to her and he says, hey, I have to tell you something. I've actually been lying to you. I am a part of Maggie's group, and let's get out of here. This guy's crazy. Let's just get out of here. And she's like, well, I don't think so. Like, these people are my family, and also you lied to me, and I'm not that excited about the fact that you lied to me. And why didn't you just tell me before? I mean, can you imagine? I put this in my write-up too. Can you imagine what would have happened if at the very beginning he told her the truth? Of course, we don't know what would have happened. She could have turned him in immediately, because she did not like him when she saw him, because she was still upset. I mean, it took a while for her to warm up to him when they met again, because she was upset that he left the cabin when they were in the cabin. But at one point during this episode, she says, do you ever think about what it'd be like if we never left the cabin? She said, it's hard to watch something you care about change when they're hurting other people you care about too. And Daryl's like, yeah. Yeah, I think about that all the time. You know, it's certainly something I think about. So again, his hope meter that he's going to get Leah back is going up. And when we get to this point here where he tells her, I think his hope meter's at an all-time high, and it's about to drop completely down to the bottom. And that's sad. It's really sad to see this happen to Daryl. But this is The Walking Dead, and this is what happens. This is what happens in, you know, mid-season finales especially, right? So he tells her, she calls him a liar, she's really upset with him. But at that point, Pope comes back. And Pope is like, hey, what's going on? And Daryl's looking at Leah like, don't tell, please don't tell. And she is looking at Daryl the same way, like, I'm going to tell, maybe, I don't know, you can't really tell, you know, by the look in her eyes. But then that's when they get in the argument. That's when Leah and Pope get in the argument about him shooting down and killing their own men, you know, their own Reapers, the mercenaries that they've been together with since the war, since Afghanistan and all that. So he's like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. Shoot down there, kill him. And Daryl takes this as his chance to jump in and kill Pope. But just as he's about to do it, I don't know if he lunges. I forgot if he lunges or he's kind of going for it. Leah jumps up, stabs Pope in the neck. He falls down. He bleeds out. And, okay, so before I said Daryl's hope meter was all the way at the top, well, I think that's not true. I think now his hope meter is all the way at the top. He's like, okay, she killed the guy. And now we, you know, A, absolutely have to get out of here right now. And B, she'll probably come with me. And we'll live happily ever after. Well, no, that's not what happens. She gets on the radio. She tells the other Reapers, hey, Daryl Dixon killed Pope. You guys got to come up here. And Daryl just looks at her with that expression, that Daryl expression, and he's like, what is your deal? You know, he's like, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you're telling on me. And he kind of passes by her to make his escape. He knows he needs to get out of there. And neither of them fight each other. Like, they're, you know, he doesn't try to kill her. She doesn't try to kill him. So they still have that mutual respect a little bit. And he makes his escape. And just as he jumps the wall, the guys come up. And she's like, yeah, there he goes. He killed Pope. And, you know, and they're like, oh, we should have killed him from the beginning. We, you know. So the interesting thing here is because right after this is when Leah gives the order for them to shoot that Huacha down and kill everyone there. She wants to kill the zombies. She wants to kill Maggie's group. I think they already killed the Reapers. I think Maggie and her group, Negan, killed the remaining Reapers down there. I think there were two guys, and I think they both died. So she's not worried about that anymore. Now she's just going to fire, and she fires it. She lights the fuse. Someone behind her lights the fuse, and it fires down, and that's right when the episode ends, is when you see these things flying by the camera, you know, and heading down there to blow them up. And you know that they can't escape in time. I mean, this isn't like the Dukes of Hazzard when they would jump, they'd make a jump, and then they'd go on a commercial break, and when it came back, the car was already landed, and you're like, that's not where the car was in the before the commercial break. Well, I don't know if they're going to do that in this, but I don't know how Maggie's going to escape. Maggie and Negan and possibly Elijah. I don't know how they're going to escape. But here's what I took away from this. The look in Leah's eyes when she does this. I can't help but think that she is the next antagonist. She's going to be the next bad guy for the second half. Well, I think there are two more thirds. This was the first third of season 11. I think there's going to be two more thirds. So for the next, you know, two thirds of the season, maybe only one of those thirds, I don't know, she's going to be the bad guy. She's going to be the queen of the bad guys. And wouldn't that be something? Because she was Daryl's girlfriend, basically. And Daryl's going to get back. Well, we'll see how that all goes. But, you know, I imagine Daryl's going to get back with Maggie's group. Maybe they'll even get back to Alexandria and kind of have one, you know, all the groups will get back together and have one big war. That's my prediction. At the end, it's going to be Leah's group. Although Leah doesn't really have much of a group left. So I don't know how that's going to work. I guess we'll see. But I can see her being just, you know, she has all this rage, and I can see it just manifesting itself throughout the rest of the season. I could be completely wrong. This could have been her last episode. right? I don't know. But I feel like they've established her character. They've given backstory for her. They had a love story in there. And then they had this part now. So I think she's really established. She really has a lot going for her. Which is the opposite I could say for Pope, who I am so glad. You know, I don't like to see people die, but man, I was glad to see Pope done, because that guy, his accent is so bad. It's so bad. It's like a mix of Australian and Boston and Forrest Gump, which isn't really an accent. And just, he would, oh, I've complained about it before. I won't complain about it again, but the characters, oh, it drove me crazy. It was so just, anyway, so this is where we're at. We are at the point where we don't know what's going to happen to Maggie and Negan and all them. We don't know where Daryl ran off to again, because Daryl runs off places by himself a lot. We don't know if we're going to see Leah again and the remaining Reapers. There has to be a handful of them left, you know. There were, what, 20 at the beginning? There's got to be like 6 or 7 left. I'm not sure. And then what's going to happen to the people in Alexandria? You know, what's going to happen with all these groups when they get together? I mean, we are approached. This is why it's the last season. Everyone is being thinned out. You know, we have kind of the main players. We have Carol and Daryl and Maggie and Rosita and Aaron, I guess, and Negan, if you want to count Negan. Which that reminds me, too, there's a lot of speculation, and I think this is maybe not going to happen. But you never know. People are speculating that Negan and Maggie are going to have a romantic. There's going to be something romantic there by the time that the season ends. I don't know. I think that. Okay, so a lot of people left The Walking Dead when Glenn died, right? And a lot of people said, I'm never watching this again. I feel like those people, myself included, kind of came back and they're like, okay, it's only a show. We're, you know, Glenn was great. It sucked to see him die, but we're going to come back and, you know, we'll give another chance. If they have Negan, the murderer of Glenn, with Maggie, the wife of Glenn, and they hook up, I just feel like people are never, ever, ever going to watch the show ever again. And they're just going to be completely done. It would be a ballsy move. It would be pretty incredible. It'd be something people would talk about for years. But it would not make the fans happy. I'd have to say that's probably going to be, you know, that would be true. All right, so that's it. That's this episode. We don't get a teaser for next episode because it's going to be so far away next year, 2022. Crazy. But that's it. Let me know what you think of this episode. I really liked it. I liked it more than the last one, of course. This is 8. I liked it more than 7. I didn't like it more than 6. 6 was the best one to me so far, just because of that horror aspect of it. But I think this one, 8, I think was better than maybe all the, you know, the other 5 before 6. Does that make sense? I really liked it. I think it went out on a cliffhanger. It had some intrigue. It had some stuff that I couldn't guess. I didn't guess that she was going to kill Pope. And at the point she killed Pope, I'm like, well, okay, now she's going to go with Daryl. And then she turns Daryl in. I don't know. It went extreme back and forth there for a while. And it was pretty crazy. So I liked it. I thought it was a really good episode. But yeah, let me know what you think of it in the comments. And be sure to check out our other podcast. We have one that talks about all the other news, all the other post-apocalyptic, you know, news from TV and movies and books and all that kind of stuff. That comes out the same time this one does, on Fridays. And check out the main site. We have a lot of things going on. We have a writing contest, a short story writing contest with cash prizes. We have lots of articles, news. The same thing I'm doing with this, where I write up the articles, not the podcast, but the write-up of articles for spoilers, you know, basically review and recap of episodes, we have Bill doing for Why the Last Man. We also have, I believe Stephanie's doing The Walking Dead World Beyond review and recap also. So we're really covering, we're getting in there. We're watching these episodes and writing them up. We're trying to cover as much as we can. Again, I am Sean, senior editor at postapocalyptic.com. And I just want to say thank you for watching and take care. Goodbye.